Hello and welcome.
I'm so glad you've pressed play on this one because child psychology is genuinely one of the most fascinating areas of the entire OCR A-level specification. And once you understand the six key studies, you'll find the exam questions much more manageable than they might look at first glance. In this episode, we're going to cover everything you need to know for Component 3. We'll walk through the core concepts and all six key studies, then I'll give you my top exam tips and flag the most common mistakes I see candidates make. After that, we'll do a quick-fire recall quiz to test your memory, and I'll wrap up with a punchy summary you can use as a last-minute revision tool. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check the night before your exam, this episode has got you covered. Let's get into it. Right, let's start with the big picture. Child psychology in OCR A-level is all about how children develop cognitively, socially, linguistically, and perceptually. The exam board wants you to understand both the background theories and the specific key research studies. And this is really important. Examiners will specify which one they want. If a question asks about the background theory, don't describe the key research study. That's a very common mistake, and it costs marks. So let's run through the six key studies. I'd suggest you memorize these using the acronym GVBSCW. Gibson, Van Leeuwen, Bandura, Samuel, Curtis, Wood. You could remember it as Great Vets Build Strong Caring Worlds. A bit silly, but it works. First up, Gibson and Walk, 1960. This is the visual cliff study. Gibson and Walk wanted to investigate whether depth perception is innate or learned. They used 36 infants aged between 6 and 14 months, placing them on a visual cliff apparatus, a glass table with a checkerboard pattern that created the illusion of a sudden drop on one side. The key finding? 27 out of 36 infants refused to cross onto the deep side even when their mothers beckoned them from the other side. This suggests depth perception is present early in infancy, supporting the nativist or nature position. For the exam, remember that specific figure, 27 out of 36. Examiners credit precise data. Now, one important evaluation point for Gibson and Walk, the infants were already 6 months old and could crawl, so we can't be certain the ability was truly innate rather than learned through experience. This is a great point to raise when discussing the nature-nurture debate. Second study, Van Leeuwen et al., 2004. This cross-cultural study looked at attachment styles across different cultures. Van Leeuwen studied children from the Netherlands, using the strange situation procedure to classify attachment as secure, anxious avoidant, or anxious resistant. The key finding was that attachment styles showed both universal patterns and cultural variation, supporting an interactionist view. This study is brilliant for discussing cultural bias and ethnocentrism in the issues and debates section. Third, Bandura, Ross, and Ross, 1961, the famous Bobo doll study. Bandura's aim was to investigate whether children learn aggressive behavior through observation and imitation of an adult model. He used 72 children aged 3 to 6 from Stanford University Nursery School, 36 boys and 36 girls. Children who observed an aggressive model were significantly more likely to imitate that aggression toward the Bobo doll. Boys showed more physical aggression. Girls showed more verbal aggression. This study underpins social learning theory and is key for the nurture side of the nature-nurture debate. For evaluation, note the artificial lab setting. The Bobo doll is designed to be hit, so the ecological validity is questionable. Fourth, Samuel and Bryant, 1983. This is a critique of Piaget's conservation tasks. Piaget claimed children under 7 cannot conserve. They can't understand that quantity stays the same despite changes in appearance. Samuel and Bryant challenged this by testing 252 children aged 5 to 8.5 using a modified procedure where the transformation question was only asked only once rather than twice as Piaget did. The result? Children made significantly fewer errors in the one question condition. This suggests Piaget underestimated children's cognitive abilities. The wording of the question, not the child's cognitive stage, was causing errors. This is a great study for discussing reductionism and methodology. Fifth, Curtis, 1977. The case study of Jeannie. Jeannie was a child discovered in 1970 at age 13, having been subjected to extreme social isolation and deprivation. She had never acquired language. Curtis studied Jeannie's language development after her rescue. Despite intensive support, Jeannie never fully acquired grammatical language. This supports the critical period hypothesis, the idea that language must be acquired before a certain age, or the ability is permanently impaired. This study raises enormous ethical issues. It was a case study of an already abused child, and there are questions about whether the research itself caused additional harm. Always mention ethics when discussing Curtis. Sixth and final, Wood, Bruner, and Ross, 1976, the scaffolding study. Wood et al. Investigated how a tutor's behavior affects a child's ability to complete a task, specifically, building a three-dimensional wooden pyramid. They worked with 30 children aged 3 to 5. The key finding was that the most effective tutors used contingent instruction. They increased help when the child struggled and decreased help when the child succeeded. This is the essence of scaffolding, which is directly linked to Vygotsky's zone of proximal development. The ZPD is the gap between what a child can do alone and what they can achieve with expert guidance. Wood et al. Showed that effective scaffolding operates within this zone. Don't confuse scaffolding with Piaget's stages. Piaget focused on individual, internal development, while Vygotsky and Wood emphasized the social, interactive nature of learning. Okay, exam tips. Time. These are the things that separate a grade A from a grade C. Tip 1. Always use AMRC. For any key study, structure your knowledge as aim, method, results, conclusions. Examiners are looking for all four components, and if you miss one, you miss marks. Tip 2. Quote specific data. Don't just say, most infants refuse to cross the visual cliff. Say, 27 out of 36 infants refused. Don't just say, Bandura used children. Say, 72 children aged 3 to 6. Specific numbers earn specific marks. Tip 3. For evaluation questions, and this is crucial, you must go beyond generic strengths and weaknesses. Saying the sample was small is not enough. You need to explain the implication. The sample of 36 infants in Gibson and Walk's study was relatively small, which limits the generalizability of the findings to all infants, particularly those from non-Western cultures where visual environments may differ. That's the difference between a level 2 and a level 3 answer. Tip 4. Use the issues and debates framework. The six debates are nature-nurture, reductionism versus holism, determinism versus free will, individual versus situational explanations, ethics, and cultural bias. Every evaluation point should be anchored to one of these debates. Examiners explicitly reward this. Tip 5. For 15-mark essay questions, use peel, point, evidence, explain, link. Your point should state the argument. Your evidence should cite the specific study with data. Your explanation should develop the argument. And your link should connect back to the question and the relevant debate. Tip 6. In Section B of the exam, allocate your time carefully. Give yourself 15 minutes for the 10-mark application question and 25 minutes for the 15-mark evaluation question. Don't rush the application question. AO2 marks require you to explicitly link the study to the scenario given. Common mistake number 1, confusing Wood et al.'s scaffolding with Piaget's stages. They are completely different frameworks. Piaget is stage-based and internal. Vygotsky and Wood are social and interactive. Common mistake number 2, describing when you should be evaluating. If the command word is assess or evaluate, the examiner wants your judgment, not a description of what happened. Check the command word before you write a single sentence. Common mistake number 3, ignoring the background theory. The background theory and the key research study are separate things. Vygotsky's ZPD is the background theory. Wood et al. Is the key research. Piaget's conservation theory is the background. Samuel and Bryant is the key research. Know both and know which one the question is asking about. Right, quiz time. I'll ask a question, pause, then give the answer. No peeking at your notes. Question 1. How many infants were used in Gibson and Walk's visual cliff study and how many refused to cross? Answer. 36 infants, 27 refused. Question 2. What is the zone of proximal development? Answer. The gap between what a child can do alone and what they can achieve with expert guidance. Question 3. What was the key methodological change Samuel and Bryant made to Piaget's conservation task? Answer. They asked the transformation question only once rather than twice. Question 4. Name the 6 key studies in order using the mnemonic. Answer. Gibson, Van Leeuwen, Bandura, Samuel, Curtis, Wood, great vets build strong caring worlds. Question 5. What does AMRC stand for? Answer. Aim, method, results, conclusions. Brilliant work getting through this episode. let me leave you with the five things you absolutely must know walking into that exam room. 1. Know all 6 key studies by AMRC, aim, method, results, conclusions, with specific data for each. 2. Understand the background theory separately from the key research. Piaget and Vygotsky for cognitive development, Bowlby for attachment, Gibson for perception, Chomsky for language acquisition. 3. Every evaluation point must be anchored to an issue or debate. Nature-nurture, reductionism, ethics, cultural bias, determinism. 4. For 15-mark essays, use PEOL and always include a counter-argument. 5. Quote, specific numbers. Examiners reward precision. You've got this. Child psychology is one of those topics that genuinely rewards students who engage with it properly, and you're clearly doing exactly that. Good luck in your exam, and keep revising smart.